were sure we were going the whole time we were in Bible college. You're never really sure where you're going. or how, you know, like, but hey, the calling of God is the main thing, isn't it? Like, it is. Like, the calling of God is the most important thing. Like, you know, God's talks to you. Like, that's very important. You know that, right? Like, God, this is, we believe this, right? That God speaks to us. I mean, he said, like, let him who glories not glory in his riches. Let the rich man not glory in his riches. Let the strong man in his strength. But he who glories, glory in this, that he knows me and understands me. So God apparently wanted to be known and understood. I mean, can you, what if God, okay, imagine that, God, all-powerful God, what if he decided, I don't want them to know me? Then we never would. I'm hiding myself and they'll never know. Then we would never know. But he actually, like, he wanted us to know him. Like, he chose to reveal himself to us and continues to do so and to speak to us. And to, the calling of God really protects, it guides us. So, because things don't always happen exactly how you, like, on your time schedule. I've never noticed that. Like, when you think they should happen, in the order you think they should happen, and you it's almost never. Like, when it does happen, you're like, wow. Like, something. Then you sort of have to be careful there. But, we knew in 1989 that we were called to missions, and we went to, God, by the way, so I always laugh whenever someone says, what if I miss the call of God? And I say, like, you can disobey it. You can resist it, but you won't miss it. You know, like, it's like saying, like, what if God can't tell me? I mean, because it's the revealing of the call. It's not, you know, it's not you that reveals the call to God. It's God that reveals the call to you. I mean, even somebody who didn't want the call, Jonah, still had no problem understanding what the call was. He didn't want to do it, but he still knew. So you don't ever worry about, like, missing. Like, what if I miss it? You know, like, you won't. I wasn't looking for what God had for us. We weren't looking for it, and God, you know, but God, you know, knew. It was amazing. Like, we thought we were getting old then. How long? That was 1989, right? Like, well, I was getting old, not Karen, but she's still not getting old. I can't even believe it. I'm not even going to reveal her age, but she's younger than me. But this, we'll be married 36 years later this month. Is that correct? 36 years. Yeah. Actually, we'll be back. It'll be the day that we get back to Argentina, right? On the 27th. The day that we arrive back in Rosario, we will have our... We'll get back, and the guys will say, you know, like, hey, it's good to have you back. And we'll say, like, yeah, okay. Like, see you later. We're going out to eat. What? Poor guys. going well, by the way, in Argentina. I'm gonna read a few verses here, but I just want to tell, you know, first of all, thank you for coming out on a Friday night. And it's always, we've been coming up here to this church for a number of years now, and I don't know how many, but a number of years. And I remember this is the second time we've been in this building. I remember coming here 2 years ago or something like that. How long have you been in this building? 3 years? Something like that? 4 years? I don't know. Anyway, I know we were here in this one. And we've been a couple other places that you guys were too. And I know you guys were sort of, yeah, like in the wilderness. But you're here, and thanks for coming out tonight. It's great to see you all. Thanks, Pastor Scott, for like even like the guys in Peru were like, yay, yay, like, yeah, Pastor Stan's preaching, and where is it? Can we go? We were just there, by the way. We just stopped in at the church in Peru for 5 days on our way up here. Hey, how's this for like God is gracious, right? Like we're in Argentina. It's not such an easy. I mean, South America is not like Europe, right? in size, it's not in many ways, but it's not in size. Like it's big. It's not quite as big as Africa. But it's big, and so it's expensive to travel from one country to another country, and so when we were looking at prices to come up here for graduation, and then to be up here until convention, we were looking at air tickets, and normally we fly out of Buenos Aires. We live in Rosario, but it's cheaper almost always to fly out of Buenos Aires. But I don't know. A couple months ago, I said, well, let me just check to see what are the prices out of Rosario. So I saw a lower price than the one out of Buenos Aires. I saw a lower price, but it went through Lima. Like it had like, you know, stop in Lima, Peru, and then, you know, go from Rosario to Lima, and then Lima to Washington Dulles Airport. So, and I said, wow, but stop in Lima. What if we stayed in Lima for a few nights? So I checked it with like staying for 5 nights in Lima, and the price went down even more. So I said, so we actually got a trip in and a visit with a church in Peru on the way up here for, I could say for free, but actually, no, they paid us in a way. Like, you know, that was amazing. And so that was really great. It's always like, love to be with our churches, wherever we find them, and this is no exception. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we could talk about the calling, but maybe not. It is an amazing topic, like the thing with like the being, like. The calling of God. You know, I always tell our young people, we're not like the Mormons. You know, we don't do missions like the Mormons do missions. Like, we're not looking for 2 years out of you. Like, we're not looking for 2 years and then you know go do whatever you want. But actually, we're saying you can live like this for your whole life. That's what we're saying to our young people. Like it's not a question of, well, you mean I have to be a mission? No, you don't have to go, you know, and live in a foreign country. But you can live like this. Like, that's what we learned. Like, I can live like this for the rest of my life. I mean, at one time that seemed very unlikely to me. But here I am. Well, we first heard Pastor Stevens in 1974, and it really—that's the thing that stuck out to me when I heard this man preach at Soldiers and Sailors Hall in Pittsburgh when he came for a telephone talk time promo thing, and that's the first time I heard of him. My mom told me, you got to go and listen to this guy. I've been listening to him on radio, and you got to go hear him. So I was 18 years old, and I went down, and I'm going like, I knew something was different about, of course, the message was awesome. I don't remember what he said. But on the way home, we lived about an hour and a half outside of Pittsburgh. And on the way home, I was trying to think, like, what it was about that was like, it just was like, I was like, wow. But I wasn't going like, okay, well, what, you know? Like, what was it, you know? And you're trying to figure these things out a little bit. And because I said, well, you know, like, how many of you have ever heard, like, a preacher who you were pretty sure didn't really believe what he was saying? You probably met or heard some. You know, I don't really think he even believes what he's saying. But then you also have heard preachers who you said, yeah, I think he believes what he's saying. But when in the summer of 1974, I heard a man who I said, I got it on the way home. I said, the Holy Spirit had to reveal it to me. Like it was, he believes. It was shocking to me. I'm like thinking, wait a minute. Like there were, I don't know, a few hundred people there, several hundred people. I don't know how many, but it was like I was the only one that was there, and it was like I felt like he was saying, you can live like I'm living. That's what I got out of it, that this man was actually saying, like, it's possible for you. I'm living by faith. You can live by faith, too. You can live like this. What will you do? How about Hebrews 11? You read the chapter. They do all kinds of things. But what's the common denominator of Hebrews 11? By faith. Right? They did this. He did this by faith. She did that by faith. Like Rahab hid the spies. How did she do it? By faith. That was the important part of all the whole thing, is it's all by faith. And that's what I got, is that you can live by faith. And that you can see, if we're talking to our it doesn't matter, the young people, older people, I don't know why I'm going like tall and short, because like some young people are tall and some older people are short. It's like, you know, but it's by faith. We can live like this for all of our lives. We started it, and actually here we are. And if we're it's like the three guys, the three young, I always like to try to remember their Hebrew names, right? I know them in Spanish, Azarias, Misael, and Ananias. But is it Hananiah, how's it going in English? And, you know, Daniel's three buddies. But let's not use the Babylonian names. Let's use the Hebrew names, you know, Shadrach. We know their Babylon. Why do we know their Babylonian names more than their Hebrew names? Because the Bible uses them. It's all right, but also tells us their Hebrew names, Hananiah, I don't know, Ananias, Misael, and Nazarias in Spanish, but I don't know in English anymore. But those three guys, when they got after they came out of the lion's den, or Daniel lion's den. Those three, the hot furnace, right? After they came out of the furnace, what threat could possibly dissuade them after that? We're going to turn it up. They're going to turn it up 14 times, you know, like. Go for it, you know. I mean, it's like when you're like, we see the faithfulness of God, and it encourages us, and then so our faith becomes stronger, and then our faith becomes stronger, and we see, because we just grow, we go from faith to faith because God keeps being faithful to us. That's what we just keep seeing. And God's faithfulness to us, and this is what we're saying to our young people. It's not, we're not using their, it's like Proverbs 17:9, right? Proverbs 17:9 is that that he who covers the matter is seeking love, right? Here's a point. Doesn't necessarily find it. How about that? Did you ever go soul winning? And when you're soul winning, you're seeking love, right? You're seeking a love relationship with God and that person. You're seeking it, but has anybody ever told you to get lost? A few, right? Yeah, I'm not interested. But what were you doing? You were seeking love. Try it again. What were you doing? least, yeah, you were. But sometimes you don't find it. But you know what? The reward is in the seeking of it. Like, keep seeking it. Like, you don't, you know, like, when you forgive, you are seeking love, right? When you forgive, you are seeking love. Now, what if the person takes advantage of your forgiveness and just like, hey, I can do it again, you know, I can do it to somebody else. Well, their heart didn't get like humbled and broken. But you were still seeking love. But what if you don't do that? What if you uncover? Then you'll never find love. You're not seeking it, and you'll never find it. What you will find, if we do this, it's like when we, you know, tell our young people, come on, run after. But if we use like their faults, and we use guilt to motivate them, you might get a couple years out of them, like the Mormons do. And that's it, and they're gone. You know. How did that go? It didn't go very well. Why not? Because I wasn't seeking love. But when I cover the transgression, and just like, you know, don't you want to talk to me about that? Did you want to talk about it? I had a guy in Argentina who's a young guy who came out to church, and a couple of times, I was the youth pastor. This was years ago. Before we first went to Argentina, then we went to Peru and back to Argentina now. But back in 1996, this kid, you know, long hair, earrings, and, you know, he comes out, you know, he's like, we would go play soccer, and man, the language, boy, I learned a lot of words from that guy. I couldn't use them, but I learned a lot of words. But he one day, he's like, I went over to his house to see him, and he said, like, I've been meaning to ask you a question. When are you going to talk to me about my hair? And I said, like, well, I'm like, do you want me to? Like, what do you want me to say about it? He said, well, it's long. Okay. So, like, I said, you know, so we just talked, and we just said, you know, it's like, really, I mean, I think it's the heart. Right? It's the heart that God is talking about. And, you know, and so then he came out, and next time we saw him, he got a haircut. But I don't care if he got his hair. I didn't care if he got, I mean, he did, but so what? We were seeking love. And you don't always find it, but you're in the seeking of it is awesome. Covering, but if you're not seeking love, but if you're using guilt to motivate people, then you never find love. What you find is behavior modification, right? That's all you'll get is just that's what it says in Proverbs 17:9. He that uncovers separates very friends. Like he's divisive, he's dividing the people from the body of Christ, and saying, like, you know, I mean, just to talk about faults. By the way, we've got them, like we have faults, but we don't. Have you noticed it? Like there was a guy in our church in Peru, and he said, I came to your church, and he was actually a leader. He had a small group of people who he was teaching, and he came to our church and he stayed. But he said, when I first came to your church, I heard this weird doctrine. And he was telling this like as a testimony in front of the whole church. And I'm sitting there waiting. I wonder what this one's going to be. And he said, it was a weird doctrine. And I said, you know, we're all like, okay, what was it? And he said, no. We don't repeat and speak evil. We don't speak evil, and we don't repeat a sin. and we don't repeat. And he said, like he said, well, in the church where I was, that was basically what we did all the time. That was all we talked about, you know, this person's sin and that person's fault. But we were like just always talking about people's faults. And by the way, people have plenty. But if I do that, if I'm using their faults to try to get behavior change, then maybe I'll get behavior change. But it won't. Number one, it won't be permanent. It won't last a long time. It'll only last a short time. And number two, even while I'm getting the behavior change, the heart is not changed. It's like Pastor Schaller told this story one time of, you know, he got stopped by a policeman. The policeman gave him a ticket. He was going too fast, and he knew he was going too fast. He said, "Yes, officer, I was going too fast." And he gave him a ticket and points on his license. And if you get another one, you're going to, you know, get more points and maybe lose your license and more money you have to pay. And so Pastor Schaller said, after that, I started driving a lot slower. He said, but in my heart. And you can just hear Pastor Shadman, in my heart, like I was going faster than ever, right? Because it does, you know, that if you're not touching the heart, then really, what, you know, do you have love? Like there's not love there. You're not, and then what else there isn't? There isn't worship. But we are called, like it's amazing what we're called to. Like we are called, we have, like we said, like we hear from God. God talks to us, and he says amazing things to us and just tells us, listen, like I love you. Isn't it amazing that Peter's repentance, Peter, after he, you know, denied the Lord, it says he went out and wept bitterly. You ever been have a bitterness in your heart? Does the Bible speak well of bitterness? It speaks of bitterness. Does it ever speak well of bitterness? I can't find any place that it speaks well of bitterness. Naomi was bitter. Was it good for her? No. How about Esau? Sought repentance with tears. How did that work for him? Mom told Jacob, run, because your brother is consoling himself. How about this? Because he's bitter. He's consoling himself with this thought. I will kill Isaac. I will kill Jacob. Like this is how he's consoling himself. Wow. That's what bitterness does. How about Hebrews? Lest a root of bitterness creep in and defile many. Like, make sure that people are receiving the grace of God. Wow, this is like our response. We're like in the church. This is what he's talking to the church. And he said, hey, help people to receive grace. Like, be grace givers. You know, don't be fault finders. Be grace givers. It's so easy to be fault finders because people have so darn many of them. But as a preacher once said, whose sin bothers you the most, yours or someone else's? And I think that's a darn good question. Because to me, if somebody else's sin is bothering me more than mine is, then I think that I'm the guy with the beam in my eye, and they've got the little speck of dust. You know, that's how Jesus said it. Whose sin? Like, hey, who are you to judge your brother? Like in Romans 14, like it says. By the way, it says he. he who stands or falls before his own master, and stand he will. But listen, he stands or falls before his own master, but he will stand. Now, here's the point on that and that verse there, because here's what two possibilities do we have at any given hour or minute or day of our lives as believers? We could be standing and running well, or we might have just had an obvious expression, a fault. And so I could be standing, or I could be, fallen. But then it says, but he will stand. And it's a different word. And it means that he will be firm. It's not he'll never fall. It doesn't say he'll never fall. It says that he will always be firm. And you know where our stability, in other words, he will always be stable in grace. In Romans 5:2, right? This is where we have our stability, is in the grace of God. Legalism is a slippery slope. It's hard to stand up. And legalism doesn't give, it says, get up, and they're trying. It's like people standing like on a plastic sheet covered with butter, right? Can you imagine? Just like a plastic sheet covered with butter, and say, get up out of there, and they're the harder that you try to get up, the more you're down. And that's what the law does, right? The law, isn't that amazing? What happened in Romans chapter 5? I was talking with this was in Montpellier, France, a few years ago. I was talking with a Muslim woman over there, and she was like, she was very interested. She was, I had an interpreter. We were speaking, or I wasn't speaking French, but the Muslim lady spoke, French and Arabic, I suppose. But the translator was speaking French, and I was talking. I said, "Hey, what are you gonna do? How are you gonna pay for your sins?" "Oh, I'm gonna pay for. I'm gonna keep the law." I said, "Do you know why the law was given?" And she's like, "Actually, no, that's a good question." I said, "Would you like to know what the Bible says about, why the law was given?" She goes, "Yeah, because she's thinking, this is how I'm going to pay for my sins, by keeping the law." And I said, "Would you like to know what does the Bible say about why was the law given?" She goes, "Yeah, tell me." So I opened it up, and we looked at it, and we read it. The law was given so that sin might increase. And she looked at it, and I thought she was going to faint. She went like, "Wait a minute, the law was given. Is that in the Bible? The law?" Because she said, I said, does it tell you in the Quran why the law was given?" She goes, "Not that I know of, but in the Bible." I said, "It tells you why it was given, but it was given not to pay for your sins, but so that you would come to Jesus Christ, the only one who could have died for your sins." Right? And this is where we are. Like, we are people who why did we come to Christ? Because in Christ there was no condemnation. That's why we came. Right? That's what we heard. We heard, we read, we hoped, and we tested it, and actually that's what we found, and we found a church where there was no condemnation. We found a church where people weren't pointing fingers and where people were not finding faults. If you look for them, you will find them. So don't look for them. don't look for them. Love covers a multitude of transgressions. We don't have to look for faults. This is why we came to Christ, was because, like the woman who came in, the sinner, the probably prostitute who came into the house of Simon the Pharisee. Why in the world would she go into the house of a Pharisee? Only one reason, because Jesus was in there. and she heard about Jesus. And she, you can just imagine, she heard, like, I don't know, I heard that he forgives. She hadn't met him yet, but in her heart, she believed in him. And she came in, and she wept. She wept, but they weren't bitter tears. They were not bitter. There's no trace of bitterness. Because what does she actually hear? What are the words that she hears? She hears Jesus say to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Can you imagine, like this woman, like at the feet of Jesus, like who has come in and wept and washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair, and she is low, she is down, but she is like coming to the only one that she thinks, I think that he is the Messiah. I think that I've heard that there is forgiveness in him. He's the one. She didn't come to him for a physical healing. She came to him because she knew she needed a Savior. And she found the Savior. She found the one who wouldn't condemn her. And she imagine what was happening in her heart when she heard Jesus talking not even to her, but of course to her. You know, probably more to her than to Simon, but he's speaking to Simon and he's saying, like, he tells them the little story, which one loves more. And Simon says, I suppose the one that was forgiven more. And Jesus said, you have judged rightly. So I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And this woman is like, what? what? Like, did he just say what I think he just said? And then it says, he turned to her. And he looked at her, and I see this woman who wasn't even daring to look up before, but now she's like, and he looks down at her, and he says, your sins are forgiven. This is what we found, right? So if this is why we came to Jesus in the first place, then why are we following him after all these years? Or months, I don't know. Some of you are young, or weeks. But why? And why will you be following him? Because he will. He's the same, yesterday and today and forever. Like he's the same, and he is the one who will not condemn you tomorrow either. And you can always. I can just go because I said, like, wow, like, Lord, I have faults, and he said, yes. I am the one that forgives them. Like, this is what I do. I cover. My love. And what am I? What is he doing? He's seeking love. And you know what? And here's the miracle, right? Because here we are tonight, and, you know, we love him. Like, that's honestly, like, just to be able to, like when you go to bed tonight and you just lay there and you go, like, Lord, I love you. You know, it's like, isn't it amazing? Like you can say, it's like, you know, Jesus came to Peter in John 21 and he said to him, do you remember what I told you you were going to do? No, he didn't say that, did he? Is that what Jesus said to Peter? Like, hey, do you remember, Peter? We haven't really talked, you and I, since I came back from the dead. And, you know, I think it's time that we dealt with this little thing. Remember, you promised, and then you didn't keep it, did you? And actually, you did what I told you you were going to do, didn't you? But Jesus doesn't even talk about it at all. But he says, okay, we know agape, Phileo, right? We understand, but hey, wait a minute. But don't be mistaken. He asks Peter, do you love me? You know, and Peter doesn't say, no, I don't. Do you get, you know? Peter doesn't say, no, I don't. Peter says, yes. I mean, the best that I, with everything that I have, I mean, I know it's not, you know, what you have for me, but I love you. Like, I do. Like, this is amazing for us that we can actually say to the Lord, like, we do love you. Like, we love him. We found that he was not seeking to uncover our faults, but actually cover, which is what he did on the cross, covered them all with his blood, covered all of our faults, took them all. And actually, that's what he did. I mean, he was the one, the original one that covered transgressions. He covered them with his blood. And, you know, so then when we do it in Proverbs 17:9, then we actually are just like, we are co-laborers with Christ in 2 Corinthians 6. We are his ambassadors when we do that, when we cover instead of, like, taking it off and say, hey, we got to deal with this. Yeah, what do you want? What do you want? I mean, what are you after? Are you after behavior modification or are you after heart transformation? And we have found like heart transformation. And what did he use to motivate us in 2 Corinthians 5:14? It tells us, it's very clear, the love of Christ constrains us. It's the love that motivated us. It was his grace. It was his forgiveness. It was, we came to the one who would not condemn us. And, you know, what are we doing to, I mean, why would we come here on a Friday night? Because Jesus still will not condemn us. Why would we come into a place and even confess our sins to him? Because why would we say, yes, I did it. It was me. I did it. Like, but why would we do that? Because we're expecting grace. Like, this is what we have found. This is what we expect. It's an awesome expectation. And we say, like, yeah, yes, Lord. like, we really do love you. We're called into that kind of a relationship. I was going to read I was going to read verse in Hebrews 2 and in Hebrews 6, but I don't think I will. I think this was a good topic. Do you think it was a good topic? Yeah. Like, and I honestly, isn't it amazing just to say, like, you know, I mean, Jesus says, do you love me? And we go, like, I mean, do we dare to say yes? I mean, maybe it's sort of like we go, like, phileo. And Jesus goes, like, feed my sheep. You know, isn't that amazing? Like, after Jesus came and, you know, when he does come into these guys, to the room, he says, peace be unto you. But then apparently, like, if you read it in a couple of the Gospels, Mark and Luke, like, Jesus reprimands them for their hardness of heart and their slowness to believe. He reprimands them. He says, you slow to believe and hard heart. And then what's the next thing? And he says, okay, now go into all the world. That's what he did. He's all right, go ahead. And they're like, wait, who? What? Wait a minute. It's hard to heart, slow to believe, you know. Yeah. I don't, but who else do you see around? I mean, at least you're here. That's all it really means. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Spanish. Here am I. You know, that's all it really means is like, well, I'm here. It's not, you know, hey, listen, it's not Isaiah's like, oh, I'm here. Like, it's not like, it's more like, well, I'm here. I don't know. Like, you know, who will, like, it's like God is awesome, right? You know, who will go for us? You know, and Isaiah's like, I'm the only one here. but it's this, it's the what we've been called to. We came to a Savior who wouldn't condemn us, and we follow him because he keeps on not condemning us. Like we continue to have like too many faults, but we and we're not using it. I told Karen, like, there was a guy we spent some time in Peru, and this one person that I know in Peru who just always is like, yeah, but what about, you know, don't you think that this message is a little bit too light on sin? And, you know, I mean, it's what he says like every time, and I'm going like, don't you have a new complaint? You know, at least come up with, if you're going to complain, at least come up with a new one. You know, do we want to talk about this again? It's not the message is the Jesus that we come to, that forgives us and covers. You think that it's going to result in lawlessness, and but like we said, like, it's he that covers the matter seeks love, but it's not guaranteed that he finds it, right? Like Pastor Schaller told that story about, like, and I think it's a true story. Actually, someone did tell me that it is a true story. About a guy, two guys in a church, and one guy had an idea to start a business, but he couldn't get the money, but another guy could get the money, could get a loan. He didn't have the money, but it was like $10,000, and he went to the bank. The other guy went to the bank and borrowed the $10,000 and gave it to the guy and said, go ahead. And then the guy misuses it and loses it all, and the guy that has the loan now at the bank says, hey, and the guy goes like, so here he is with, you know, and he's got to pay it back to the bank every month, you know, and I don't know how many, it took him, you know, I don't remember the story, how many years, but it took him years to pay it back, but he's making these payments every month, and he finally finished it. And he told Pastor, because Pastor Schaller knew about it because he was his pastor, and he finally finished the paying off of the debt at the bank, and he had sort of a party with him and his wife, and he told Pastor Schaller about it, and Pastor Schaller said, who else knew? And he said, no, nobody else knew. Me, my wife, you, and that guy, and nobody else. We didn't tell anybody. Now, you could say, but hey, wait a minute, shouldn't we let the other people in the church know, because that guy could do it again to somebody else? I mean, is it possible that the guy could have gone like, hey, anybody got $10,000? Like, can you get $10,000? Because I got this idea for a business. Yeah, he could do it again. But Pastor Schaller asked him, when did you forgive him? Now that it's paid off? And the guy said, no, forgave him from the beginning, forgave him, you know, had to pay the debt, but the forgiveness was, we forgave him, like it was forgiven. why? Seeking love, seeking. Now, is it guaranteed? I don't know. I have no idea, really, in the story. I have no idea, like, who is that other guy and what happened with him. But I hope that grace and mercy resulted somehow in that guy's heart being, like, broken and humbled. Because that's what happened to us, right? That wasn't, like, when we found out that our sins were forgiven, we didn't say, well, let's go. Actually, it resulted in, you know, and could it happen? Like Paul says, like, well, like, what are we, I mean, that Romans 6:1, which, you know, two verses after the 5:20, you know, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. And then the conclusion that he recognizes, that God recognizes, that some people will come to. Like, isn't that something? God knows that some people will come to this conclusion. Well, let's just sin. But he didn't change the doctrine, even knowing that some people would come to that conclusion. He says, it's the wrong conclusion, but I know that some people will do it. It's true. Like, when we cover the matter, it is possible then for there to be, for the person to take advantage and to live and to not be broken. But if you don't, though, but if you are uncovering sins, if that's what we're doing and we're dealing with people according to their sins, then we are not seeking love and we'll never find love. We'll only find, like, a relationship that's built on fear, and we'll find a relationship that's built on behavior modification, and it'll be false, and it'll be like, you know, like, you're like, yeah, I'm going slower, officer, but in my heart I'm speeding like a, you know, like, hey, they gave us this year did you see the car that they gave us this year? Like what, every year we rent a car, come up, we always do the what's it called, hot wire, and you pay in advance and you get a cheaper monthly rate for the rental car. That's what we do anyways, and we always do the, like, compact car, you know, they try to sell you the higher one, not a compact, you know. But this year the girl at Budget, she, you know, we're at the airport a week ago, and she points out and she goes, like, you can take that one. I turn around with the red one. And she goes, yeah. I'm going, like, are the keys in it? Because it was a Mustang, right? So, like, honey, come on. So we were out of there. I fully expected when we got to the gate for the guy to go, like, get back in there. Put that car back. But he let us go. So I was like, oh. You know, I'll, you know, anyways, this is the grace of God. But it was fun. It is fun. I've been driving too fast, though. A little bit. Well, but not all the time. Not on the major highways. Just on the roads where the deer are. pray for us. Okay. Hey, it's been good, you know, just being here with you. Always really appreciate this congregation, this church. Pastor Moore, love you so much. And we came to Jesus because he loves us and he wouldn't condemn us, and we're following him. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to follow him. And like the young people right there, you can follow him for all your life. Like, they can do it. It's, like, amazing because of love. If we used the other thing, if we tried to motivate by behavior modification and by fear and guilt, it would not last. But if it's love, it can last. We're seeking love. God is seeking love. He found it. Like, he found it. Hey, isn't that amazing? Like, you love God, he loves you. That's why you love him. But he found it. And we seek it with other people. Like, you know, like we're missionaries. We're people with a mission. And we are seeking love. And we don't always find it. Sometimes we find, oh my goodness, I can't believe what he said. Or like Adrian Witt. You guys know Adrian Witt? Not so much. Okay. Some people know Adrian Witt. Like she had like for outreach, like, you know, different like abbreviations for, like, instead of filling out a long thing, okay, for if you're filling out like a card for, okay, we visited this house and, you know, NH, not home. And, but she had, one of her abbreviations was DIF. You know what DIF means? Stood for Adrian Witt, door in face. DIF, okay, I got DIF'd at that house, you know. It's all right, we'll go back. You know, because we're seeking love. Like, we're seeking love. We don't, and God is seeking them. We know that. Okay. So I don't know if there, microphone.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor Collins, for coming and sharing with us. Appreciate it. And he'll be back here on Sunday morning, Lord willing, if we don't get raptured first, and we survive. So I want to say thank you. Pastor Collins is, I mean, he's been preaching the word in season and out of season for decades. But I just want to commend you for being listening in season, out of season, and being quick to respond, because we didn't have, I don't know, more than, I think it was about 24-hour notice for this. So thanks for canceling the Bible college class, so those that are at the class on Friday night could be over here with us. And those that found us by other means, thanks for coming out. There is food, so the fellowship doesn't end yet. And it's unusually quiet in the chapel because of the short notice. We didn't make childcare available, or we didn't. There is childcare, but there's no kids, right? They're here with us. There are kids, and they're quiet. Are they alive? Oh, they're watching a movie. Anyways, they're not in the kitchen. So we can fellowship in the kitchen. We can have food and fellowship in the kitchen and have our wrap in the kitchen, because the kids aren't in there screaming and yelling like usual. So, which we love, but